So we're going to Joshua chapter 6 and reading from verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valour. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, Take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, Pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord, and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the rearward came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, Ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth, until the day I bid you shout, then shall ye shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord, and 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them, but the rearward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the 2nd day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So they did 6 days. Amen. May the Lord bless to us this reading from his word. The children of Israel, after they crossed the river Jordan into the land of Canaan, took time to dedicate themselves to the Lord. And we read about that last time, and we read how that took place by circumcision. And we also learned that they ate together a Passover meal. And this reminded them how that the Lord had delivered the people out of Egypt. Now the task of defeating the inhabitants of Canaan and possessing the land begins in earnest. But surely this work of defeating the people happened in a way that no one could have expected. The Lord Jehovah spoke to Joshua. And I want us to notice this, because these instructions as to how the people are to walk around the city, completely go around the city each day for 6 days, and then what was to happen on the 7th day. These instructions come from the same person who previously met Joshua with a drawn sword. This person had identified himself as the captain of the Lord's host, and we saw that it was actually the Lord Jesus Christ. We spent a little bit of time thinking about that last week as well. So that this proves the fact that we are told here that it is the Lord Jehovah that gives these instructions to Joshua. This proves not only was this person the Lord Jesus Christ, this captain of the hosts was the Lord Jesus Christ, but he is also here called Jehovah God. The Lord Jesus Christ is Jehovah God, one with the Father, one with God the Holy Spirit. And it is God who had come to fight for Israel. And we notice too that the Lord expressly says that he has given Jericho, the city, its king, and its army into Joshua's hand. It was as if to say, it is already done. The Lord intended to perform this wonderful miracle to honor his glory, to demonstrate his power, and to send, no doubt, a terrifying message to all the inhabitants of the land of Canaan. This was to be the Lord's work, and the Lord instructs Joshua what he requires the people to do. All the people, we learn from our reading, were to march around the city. First, the men of war, or the armed men. Then, the seven priests blowing a ram's horns. Then, the Ark of the Covenant, borne by priests. Remember how we talked about the design of the Ark of the Covenant, how it was a box, and it could be, it had rings in it, and staves were pushed through, and this is how it was carried on the shoulders of the Levites. Here it's the priests that are carrying it as they moved throughout their time in the wilderness. And now they were carrying it again in this trip, this journey that they made around the city of Jericho. Then, after the priests with the Ark of the Covenant, we're told that there would be a rearward, or a rear guard. So it seems that the rest of the people then followed, and then there was a rear guard of the army as well. So these are the people that make their way around the city of Jericho. And they are to walk silently. This is emphasized. They are to walk in a long procession, but they are to be silent. Only the sound of ram's horns would be heard as the priests blew on these ram's horns. Short blasts. Perhaps they helped keep the marching people in time. And the people that were in Jericho, the population of the city, they must have looked on in wonder at the strange scene from their city walls. Excuse me. When all the people had marched around the city, we are then told that they returned to their camp in Gilgal. And that was the end of the day's activity. But it was a pattern to be repeated for 6 days. Once around the city, silently following the Ark of the Covenant, listening to the sound of the trumpets, waiting for that day when the long blast and the word from Joshua to shout as loud as they could would be heard. And inside Jericho, the people must have wondered what was happening. These short blasts from the ram's horns marked the beat of the procession, and the intensity of that scene must have terrified the people of the city and far beyond. Who were these people that had come up out of the desert? Who were these people and what were they doing? No one could have imagined what was about to happen. Now, we're going to spend some time next week thinking about the events of the seventh day. But here's a little spoiler alert. The walls of the city come tumbling down, just as God had promised. But for today, I want to take a few little lessons from what we have read together. And the first one is this, that we can take this as an application, that there is value in quietly waiting for the Lord and his timing. This was a lesson that the children of Israel had to learn during this week. They had to quietly wait for the Lord and his good timing. It's a lesson that we have to learn, especially as we grow older. We have to learn to be patient. And we have to learn sometimes also to be quiet and not to say the things that we might think about saying, or not to say the things that we might be tempted to say. Wise Solomon once said, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven." And I suspect that the people didn't actually know how long this walking around the city would continue for. Because we hear that when Joshua gave the instruction, he said, "Walk quietly until the day I bid you shout, then shall ye shout." So they may have been going out every day thinking, "I wonder if Joshua will shout today. I wonder if today will be the day that that shout will take place." And day after day, they walked quietly and patiently around the city and then back to the camp. But it was more than that. The silence of the people and their patience was a mark of respect to the Lord, because the Lord was with them there in the camp. God was about to act. God, in whom is all power and glory and majesty. And let us remember that God didn't need 7 days to make these walls fall down. But he took those 7 days. Most of us want to see things happen at once, but it was appropriate for the people to wait silently and patiently upon the good pleasure of God, as if to say, "Lord, when you are good and ready, you move according to your will." And that is a good lesson for us all to learn. We need to be patient, we need to be quiet, and we need to wait until God is good and ready to do his will. And there's another little lesson that we have here, and that is this. We should also be prepared for surprises. And I mention this because I want us to remember that God knows exactly what he is doing in this world. But we don't. Who could have imagined crossing the Red Sea on dry land? Or so many people eating manna for 40 years in the desert? Or water flowing from a stone, from a rock that followed the people during all that time? Who would have thought that God would have dried up the Jordan until the children of Israel walked safely across it? And who could have imagined that the walls of this fortified city of Jericho would fall down when the people shouted out? We don't see physical miracles like this today. But that does not mean that God has stopped doing surprising things. Nothing stands in the Lord's way. Not the strongest nations of this world, not the hardest heart of the strongest rebel. Every time the Lord saves a soul from hell, that is a miracle of grace and a demonstration of God's sovereign power. And this brings me to the final point that I want to leave with you today. God's grace is his sovereign work. What do I mean by that? When I use the word sovereign, when I use that word to speak about the power of God, what do I mean by that? Well, we haven't actually come to the verses where we're told that the walls of Jericho fall down. However, when the Holy Spirit saves a man or a woman or a boy or a girl, he calls it the pulling down of strongholds. That's what Jericho was. It was a stronghold. It was a place that had strong walls that held up against enemies so that the people inside could feel safe and go on with their lives. It was a stronghold. And yet God brought that stronghold tumbling down. And just as surely as God pulled down the walls of Jericho, God is able to miraculously pull down the strongholds of men and women and boys and girls' rebellious hearts. Our sinful hearts are like solid walls. Our natural opposition to God is like a well-defended city, fortified against everything that is holy and true and pure. And our rebellious nature is a stronghold of evil. We're proud, we're disobedient, even violently opposed to God sometimes. We build around ourselves all manner of human logic, worldly wisdom, emotional arguments and physical barriers. We try to distance ourselves as much as we can from the claims of God upon our lives. And God has to break through all of those things in order to bring one of his people to salvation and a knowledge of the truth. And God alone can do it. The lesson here of Jericho is to remind us that that great work of salvation is a work that only God can do. And it takes his sovereign, powerful strength to do it. In the covenant of grace that we sometimes speak about, this great eternal plan of salvation that God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit agreed upon before the world was even created, that God would save a people for himself. In that plan of salvation, in that covenant of grace, God the Father pointed to sinful hearts like yours and like mine, and said, as it were, to the Lord Jesus Christ, I have given into thine hand Jericho, that walled city, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valour. God delivers his people into the hands of Christ because the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life for them. And the finest application that we can take from this history of the city of Jericho is to remind ourselves, as Paul tells the church at Corinth, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, are not physical, are not worldly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Paul goes on to say, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I don't imagine you've ever thought about the fact that you've got a Jericho in your heart. But we have got strong walls that we like to reinforce against God. And it takes God's sovereign power in the gospel to bring such a stronghold down. And that's the picture that we have in this account. Sometimes the Bible uses trumpets, like these ram's horns, uses trumpets to symbolize gospel preaching. And when God the Holy Spirit is about to work a work in a sinner's heart, he does so quietly, patiently, even imperceptibly, except for the sound of the gospel. And just as these people that were going around the city of Jericho were told to be silent, so the priests' trumpets could be heard. Sometimes it's good for us just to stop talking and let the gospel do its work. It's why we believe in the value and the importance and the power of gospel preaching. In this gospel, we learn that the Lord Jesus Christ was sacrificed for the sin of his people, that he was buried and that he was raised again. And this is the power of God unto salvation in the hearts, souls, and lives of God's people. As we read these accounts, these old accounts of God's dealings with the children of Israel and his dealings with his people and their enemies as well in the land of Canaan, let us remember God is working his purposes in this world. And often it is silent. Often it can't be detected openly. But he is powerfully gathering his church. He is building his kingdom. And blow by blow, the gospel brings down the stronghold of man's hard hearts in order that their souls might be saved. May the Lord bless these thoughts to us today. Amen.